Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles and no one left on the boat who isn't attracted to Dwayne Fabulosa.
Are we sure about Bessie?
Hang on.
Maybe Bessie.
Oh, trust me. Have raw animal magnetism. She can't resist.
I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and our crew is once again joined by the glorious Jeremy Cobb. Hello, Jeremy.
Ooh, hello, hi, everyone. Jeremy. As David said, I'm Jeremy Cobb, guesting from Three Black Halflings. It's another D&D podcast. It's also based in Britain. And we're also all actors. We talk about diversity in fantasy and D&D, and we give DMing tips, and we have interviews with people, and we laugh a lot. It's a great deal of laughing.
Such a happy show. It's amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, filled with so many tips and so many things to think about. I've listened to quite a lot of it.
Shout out to Daryl, by the way, who's a patron. Thanks, bro. Really appreciate it.
Daryl. Take my black dollar.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now that's something we all need to make sure we do.
Yeah, now I feel like it's like, guess the rest of you, I was looking at the patron list.
The hustle never stops.
Suddenly Dwayne loves Enkidu.
Enkidu, take this inspiration. Oh, you're my favorite.
Rally, brother.
I do believe there was just an explosion.
Oh,
yeah. Oh.
Yeah, shall I cue the theme tune?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's cue the theme tune.
Boom.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D.
Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative.
Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No guts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll. Every roll.
A hero rises inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success will rest upon the dice. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is no small role.
So, whilst loading the chug-along with elemental batteries, Enkidu and Gaius encountered the man of legend himself, Dwayne Fabulosa. Professing his continuing feelings for Gwendolyn and charming his way through the party, Dwayne helped them convince the local guard that Myra was on a completely different boat. So reluctantly, the party agreed to travel with Dwayne across the lake, and as the boat left the dock, their new companion watched as a stalking halfling stepped out onto the water in pursuit. The journey was tense, with Dwayne seemingly haunted by his stalker. As Juno clocked his uncomfortableness, the blue-haired bard explained that he believed Gwendolyn was being pursued by a ghostly cow. At the sound of a cowbell, the words, "Why did you leave me?" appeared on the deck. And as everyone gathered to investigate, another cowbell was heard in the cargo hold below. Gaius and Orin headed down first to watch as the mysterious halfling threw a crate of elemental batteries to the ground, causing an explosion to blast across the ship. And that's where we're at. So, Orin is picking himself up off of the ladder down into the hold. Gaius is sort of peering through the smoke, and you can see as the halfling is gone, this mysterious halfling, but where he's thrown the batteries down, there is a congealing, oozing mass of elemental energy that is growing and, like, taking humanoid form. There's fire sort of burning through its core. There's smoke starting to pour out of its shoulders. Lightning. Worse, in fact, than the last one. Lightning seems to be dancing around this creature
as it
grows worse and worse. Let's roll initiative.
Is it everyone or just the two of them?
Everybody. Everybody on that boat.
Oh, ooh, my dice.
Nice,
just
nice, nice.
Ooh.
Very good.
Can we also have a roll for Bessie as well?
Chris. Yes, Bessie did better than us. I bet. No, she. I've got riding horse actually stats up now. It's
good, good, good. In which case, Chris, I'm going to let you have charge of Bessie during this.
Okay, sure thing. I'll take that on.
Right. So 25 to 20.
Dirty 20.
Yep. Dirty 20 as well.
Oh, whose dexterity is higher?
+2.
+2.
Oh, I don't think we've ever had that before.
15.
14.
Ah, Orin just pips it. So Orin first, followed closely by Enkidu. 20 down to 15.
18.
17.
Yeah, 18 for Dwayne.
Mm-hmm. My dexterity is +3.
Bessie got 16, I got 15.
Okay, very close, very high rolls.
My dexterity is also +3. I have a 16 for dexterity.
Ooh.
I also have a 16.
In which case, both of you roll again, and we'll see who gets higher.
Gwendolyn can go first.
After you, ever the gentleman.
Brilliant. I can't believe that's happened twice in this initiative.
I know. What's going on? Okay, yeah, we'll say Gwendolyn first. I mean, she is ahead of Dwayne in the crowd. Dwayne, shortly behind. Did you say 17, Juna?
17. Should I be rolling initiative for Ruwana?
Yes, because she does have a separate initiative.
Oh,
cool. Done. Mm.
Gaius with a 16. No, wait.
15.
Bessie with a 16.
No, she has 17, sorry.
Oh, okay.
So she ties with Juna?
She ties with Juna?
I presume she's reeling from it, so she'll let Juna go first.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Winthrop got a 12. Because I think both of them, Winthrop and Reggie, theoretically can join. Winthrop got a 12, and Reggie got an 8.
Cool.
Oh, amazing. We got the whole menagerie.
Winthrop with a 12 here. Reggie with an 8 down here.
Where did Ruwana come?
Yeah, where does Ruwana fit in all of this?
Okay, Ruwana has scored an 8.
Ruwana for eight as well.
Oh, it's the same role as Reggie.
Not even going to go there. Reggie is a bigger animal. So, the full list, and I actually rolled really low for the elemental as well. The full list goes like this. Orin, Enkidu, Gwendolyn, Dwayne, Juna, Bessie, Gaius, Myra, Winthrop, Hallie, Reggie, Ruwana, and the elemental at the bottom.
Wow.
This could very well be the biggest fight we've had.
All the extras.
So, top of initiative, Orin. You are down below deck. There's an explosion that's just thrown you back against the ladder down into the hold. What are you doing?
So he sees a sudden an elemental sort of rising up out of the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
So you said this one looks more lightning-y.
Yeah.
So it looks different to the elemental that we saw the other day.
Yeah, whereas the other one, and with Myra having sort of talked you through it a little bit, was made of a water elemental and a fire elemental fusing. This one seems to be a whole host of different things. It seems a lot less oozy than the one that you saw before, a lot less molten. This seems much more incorporeal, sort of maybe perhaps from a quick look at it, you think a fire elemental, maybe a lightning one, also possibly just an air elemental thrown in there as well. It seems to be swirling a little bit more, but it is definitely growing in size.
Okay, so aware that last time he used fire against the elemental. It didn't go well. He won't be trying that one. I think Orin's gonna reach into his bag and pull out his dragon, which has still got the force ballista head on that he had in the last fight. He's gonna whack that out of his bag just to add more creatures to your fight there, David. Because I felt like we needed more. And
right, that one acts on your turn, so.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. And he is going to get it to pretty much stay where it is, I think, just slightly in front of him, so it's slightly in between him and the elemental, giving him hopefully a little bit of cover, and then fire the force ballista towards the elemental thing, if he may, please.
Absolutely. Make your attack roll.
Okay. 16.
16 hits.
Woo! So that's gonna do 10 points of force damage, please.
Nice.
You see, like, yeah, this little dragon head blast out just a, like, invisible force energy, and the smoke seems to, like, ricochet back down the boat a little bit. Ooh. Sort of, yeah, like, again, this one does seem less solid than the last elemental that you fought, but you can see that even just that seems to have knocked sort of, yeah, a large portion of it off that sort of dissipates behind it.
Okay, so a bit of force damage. So then I'm just going to sort of shout up the ladders like, got a bit of a problem down here, big problem.
Don't drink the milk!
There's no milk! He's just going to try and back up a bit if he can, sort of towards the stern of the boat.
Absolutely. Sort of, so, like, out of the way of the ladder.
Yeah, out of the way of the ladder, so hopefully other people can come down. And then, seeing as Aggie's turn immediately follows Orin, can Aggie just come down the stairs, fly down the stairs, just to see what's going on, please?
Absolutely.
Cool.
Now, that doesn't cost her much movement to get down there. Whereabouts would you like to have her, like, between you and your dragon?
Or... Let's have her back near the back of the boat as well, please.
As far back as she
can. As far back as she can. Sort of in a corner would be good. She's tiny.
Yeah, she can probably tuck herself under the ladder, actually, if she prefer.
Yeah, that would be lovely.
Yeah, so she sort of like flies down the hatch, sort of sees you, sees the thing, tucks herself around under the ladder so that she's near you, but kind of protected.
Yeah, let's not put her in the middle of a fight. That's me done.
Wonderful. It's Enkidu's turn.
Sure. How tall is the mast on the deck of the ship?
It's about 30 feet high.
30 feet high. I'll turn to Myra and say, this is for your own good. Just stay here and I'll cast Fly and grab her and fly to the top of the mast and, like, put her up there.
Yeah, you've got 60 feet of flying, so carrying Myra, it's, like, almost difficult terrain. It's, like, because you're having to lift her up there.
Yeah, sure.
It'll take you double movement. So, yeah, like, you've used basically all 60 feet just to get up to the top of the 30-foot mast.
Fine. Sorry, Myra. Watch over us from here, all right? Well, I'm counting on you. Tip her a wink.
Okay, and she sort of, like, yeah, like, steps out onto the mast itself, holds on tight. Should I do anything to help?
Just stay here. If there's anything you can do from a distance, that'll be helpful, but, like, don't move from here, all right?
Okay.
All right, it's a good lass. And I'll just have to hover there, wait out.
Gwendolyn, it's your turn.
Okay, Gwendolyn is going to run down the stairs to try and find out what's going on. She knows that she's just heard Orin shout, something's going on. On seeing this elemental again, she is torn because she knows that piercing damage with her, when she had her spear before that went up in flames, was not great, but she's gonna try throwing a dart at it anyway and see if it has any effect. So that is... That's 17 to hit.
17 does hit, yeah.
Okay, so that is 7 points of damage.
7 points of damage. And again, like, the dart flies right the way through this creature. There does seem to be, like, a trail of smoke and flame as the dart, like, collides with the wood of the hull behind it. But how much damage it's necessarily done, you're not entirely sure.
Don't think piercing damage works, but I tried anyway. She shouts as she runs further forward to where that kind of cargo is in front of her, and maybe uses the rest of her movement to kind of climb up it a little bit, but still not wanting to quite get into the range of that thing just yet, but just to make space for people.
Yeah, so you see ahead of you the crates of elemental batteries, the ones that haven't been smashed just yet. Are you sure you want to climb on those?
Oh, I did not know that was what was in there, but I should have done, because she realizes that, and she
you can change tack and move in a slightly different direction if you'd like.
she gonna move back a little bit by the other side of the ladder, but not blocking it in case it, in between Orin and Gaius. Cool, thanks for telling me that. That's very kind of you.
It's a very small boat, is the thing. So it's gonna get crowded pretty quickly if you head downstairs. Below deck. You can't go downstairs on a boat. I'm not a sailor. Don't tell my granddad. He used to work in the Navy.
David's backstory.
Dwayne, it's your turn.
Dwayne is going to just sort of peek. He's going to like rush forward and peek and see. My word. Reggie. Reggie, Winthrop. Get down there and make yourselves useful, shall we? Destroy that, whatever that is, that thing. Defend Gwendolyn with your lives.
And then he's going to look down at the creature and whisper to himself,
I don't know if that's you, Bart, but whatever this form you've taken is, you were much prettier before.
And cast Dissonant Whispers, essentially using that sentence. The elemental has to make DC 15 wisdom saving throw.
That is a total of 3.
Okay, well then, on a failed save, it takes 3d6 psychic damage and must immediately use its reaction, if available, to move as far as its speed allows away from me.
Oh, interesting.
So that's useful. It takes 5, 7, 8 points of psychic damage.
Nice.
And because of the way that spell works, no one else heard what I said. Because it says only one creature of your choice within range can hear.
And then it takes its reactions immediately to like move to the furthest end of the ship away from the ladders. And yeah, the way, like, as you're sort of like hanging over the edge, I'm picturing of like not even getting onto the ladder, just sort of like poking your head down. You see this this creature, it seems to almost roll backwards. It doesn't walk, it doesn't seem to have limbs just yet. They're forming, but it like this cloud of smoke and fire. And crackling lightning energy just rolls backwards as far as it can to the back of the ship. So you feel like whatever it is that you said to it definitely worked. Have you got anything else?
So I'm just going to scooch out of the way of the ladder so that other people can get down.
Amazing. So, Juna, it's your turn.
Okay, so Juna is going to leave Rowana up on top deck and go down the stairs so that she's just sort of by, like, underneath there, see what's going on. And then, yeah, she's just going to move a little bit away from the stairs so that she's sort of not in the way.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. And then the first thing she's going to do is, fingers crossed, that this actually works against an elemental. She's going to cast Phantasmal Force. So we shall see if this works before I tell you what I want to do.
Cool. So it has to make a save as well, right?
A wisdom saving throw, yeah.
It is 6 altogether.
Yay! It works.
Not a very wise creature.
She spins her quarterstaff above her head and she casts Phantasmal Force so that it looks as if there are like bigger elementals trying to attack it in sort of like an arc where it sort of rolled back, sort of as if there's like a wall, if I'm allowed to do this. This is the first time it's actually worked. Like a wall of other bigger elementals coming down on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Phantasmal Force is entirely in its own mind, right?
It is entirely in its own mind.
Yeah, so that's what it sees. It sees these like much more threatening elementals of fire and even earth, like sort of forcing their way through the ship, like coming towards it.
Yeah.
Are you going to do any damage with that? Do you want these beings to attack it or just like threaten it backwards?
Let's try and make them attack it and see what happens.
Sure.
How do I do that?
Does it not say anything?
Oh, yeah, the phantasm can deal 1d6 psychic damage to the target. If it's in the phantasm's area within 5 feet of the phantasm, which it is. And if it is a creature that could logistically deal the damage.
Yeah, which these sort of like threatening elementals definitely could. So feel free to roll damage on that.
Cool. 4 damage.
4 damage. No, that's good. A bit of psychic damage. Cool. Have you got anything else, Gina?
That's what I'm going to do.
In which case, it is Bessie's turn.
Okay, so Bessie is going to... She's panicking at the moment. She's been flung against the side of the ship and her legs are buckling under the impact. She gets to her feet shakingly, looks around, sees us, sees the huge elemental and just decides that she is going to... Like, she tries to rear up, but unfortunately her head hits the ceiling above, panics even more, and she is going to... I'm going to roll a d4 for which direction she suddenly bolts because she's panicking.
Oh.
Luckily, she rolled a 4, which means that she's going to move as far backwards as she can, so she's almost, like, pushing her bum right into the... stern of the ship, so she's right crammed in at the back, and she is just she's there and she's just going to be trotting and trying to understand what's going on, and she's just looking around wildly, and that's going to be her move.
Absolutely. It is then Gaius's turn.
Gaius is going to think, okay, right, God, there's a big monster right in front of us. Okay, we're on a boat. There's lots of water underneath. Is there any damage that's been done to the hull?
Make a quick perception check.
Good thought.
Okay, I rolled an 8. My perception's 4, so that means I'm going to have 12 as a final roll.
So yeah, you can do a quick glance around and you can see that there is a slight crack in the deck above you, but from your view vantage point, you can't quite see whether or not the explosion has damaged the like the outer hull at all. So beyond like, yeah, a tiny crack sort of above you, there's you can't quite tell.
Great. Okay, in that case then, what I'm going to do is Gwen's right next to me, so I'm just going to whip out my lute, play a couple of strums, and then just bardically inspire her for anything that she's prepared to do. Then I'm going to step in front of Bessie to the right of the boat, so I'm not in any direct line of if that monster shoots anything at us. And then I'm going to ready my action for if it starts moving towards the group, I'm going to play my flute in an attempt to move it back to where it is at the stern of the boat.
Absolutely.
And he's going to crouch down just for sheer, like, I was about to say shits and giggles, but actually just shits. He's scared.
Ain't no giggles right now.
No giggling.
Amazing. So, back at the top of the mast, it's Myra's turn. Before, as Enkidu starts to sort of drift back down, she quickly grabs his shoulder, reaches into her little bag, pulls out small... It's odd. It's almost like a bangle of sorts. And she just grabs his wrist, like slaps it around the thing, twists it. It's like a sort of silvery colour with little wing thrup gears all around the edge. And she says, that'll keep you a little bit safe. For a little bit, okay?
Sure, thank you. What does it do? Do I need to do anything?
No, it's just, well, it'll make you harder for the creature to hurt you.
Okay.
Wait, she doesn't quite know there's a creature. It'll make it harder for anything to hit you.
Right. Okay, sure. Just stay here. I'll join the others as soon as I can, yeah?
Okay.
It looks really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. For your own benefit, you are under the protection of the sanctuary spell.
Good spell.
Nice.
So yeah, for the next minute, any creature that goes to attack you or casts anything harmful towards you must make a wisdom saving throw first. So just, you know. But she sort of like, yeah, just readies herself and stays at the top of the mast, looking out to see what's happening on the ship below. It is Winthrop's turn.
Oh, yes. Winthrop. Winthrop, upon hearing the call of his master, is going to sprint towards the ladder, just straight leap down. Winthrop has a full 40 feet of movement. How close from where he was can that get him to the elemental?
Ah, so from he was roughly at the mast above, so it's about 20 foot back to the ladder, so about 20 foot down underneath, which leaves him roughly about sort of 15 feet away from this creature.
Okay, he's going to stop there as I'm still charging forward, prepared to attack this thing.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty much all he can do. He sadly does not get any cool bonus action things. He's just he's just a tiger. He just stops there.
He's just a tiger.
Don't sneak attack.
Though I will say he's infused with some of Dwayne's same panache. So as he runs down, he goes, wow. And then one of his fangs, a little ding.
Yes.
Yes.
That is one good looking cat.
Amazing. Then it's Hallie's turn. Enkidu, you can see that she, while she is looking back to see what's happening and clearly is worried about her ship, she is just focusing on pushing this ship as far and as fast as she can, to the point that she starts like pulling some other bits of rope, tries like edging the sail round from where she is so that it catches the wind even more, but is just focusing on moving this ship forwards. It is Reggie's turn.
Reggie is going to do the same thing. He's going to run across the deck, hop downstairs. Reggie has 50 feet of movement, so he's going to run as close to that thing as he can too.
Yeah, so he can actually, as he was a little bit further back than Winthrop, get to within 10 feet of this elemental, but in his birdie way is storming forwards.
He's still not quite close enough to attack. Both of them have only a 5-foot raid.
He's close enough to dance.
Yes, he immediately starts dancing. Like, he fans out his wings and starts dancing seductively in front of the elemental.
Amazing. It's then Ruana's turn.
Ruana is going to fly up and sit with Myra.
Yeah, so she, in a goosey way, flies right the way up, circles Myra a little bit. And
she then... sort of lands, probably not on her, because she's probably quite heavy, but like sort of if there's like a ledge so that she can just sort of nestle up to her and let her know that she's sort of got someone there with her.
Just chew the fat.
Mm. Yeah.
Lovely. It is then the elemental's turn.
Mm-mm. Let's go.
With dissonant whispers, does that mean it can't move toward you at all, Dwayne?
It can now. It's not frightened. I think it just has to use its reaction to run away. But after that, it's free to do whatever.
Okay, cool. In which case, having been like backed up. Oh, and that's the other thing. Phantasmal force. Does that continue?
It continues until the creature sort of realistically realizes that it's not real. Mm-hmm. The target treats the phantasm as if it was real. The target rationalizes any illogical outcomes from interacting with the phantasm. For example, a target attempting to walk across a phantasmal bridge that spans a chasm falls once it steps onto the bridge.
Cool, so it has to use its action to determine that it's wrong, that it's not real. Wonderful. In which case, having been backed into a corner, all it's going to do... You can see it, like all of you sort of staring it down from the other end of the boat. You can see it swell slightly and then... Almost like a maw at the front of it just opens up, and this plume of fiery breath 30 feet right the way down in a column to the other end of the boat.
We've lined ourselves up beautifully for that.
Oh yeah, the only person who is out of it, Orin, you are just far enough back, and Gaius and Bessie are just far enough to the side, but Reggie, Winthrop, Orin's dragon, Juna and Gwendolyn all have to make dexterity saving throws.
That's not good.
I'm sorry, just to double check. Aggie was out of the way, yeah? She's far enough
back. Yeah, Aggie's far enough back as well.
I think I'm throwing my dice off the table.
Fair.
Don't do that. Unless they're rolling badly, in which case do that.
So Winthrop got a 15.
Mm-hmm. Dragon got a 14.
Reggie got an 11.
Oh no.
Got an unnatural 21.
I got a 2. I'm not even. Oh no, it's a 5. I'm not even going to try favoured by the gods because I've. Oh no, I'm going to because I can't not. Don't worry about it. 7.
So the DC was 15. Anybody that got below that takes 28 points of fire damage.
Oh,
dear.
The dragon burns up and is gone.
That is a spicy meatball.
Juna is not looking good.
Reggie is fully cooked.
Oh, God.
He'll make a tasty dinner?
He's a full-on, like, cooked, like, chicken at this point. He's roasted.
Oh, dude.
He was such a good dancer.
He's dancing the dance of death now.
Everybody else, if you got 15 or higher, that is... 14 points of fire damage. You're still a bit toasty. It is Orin's turn.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, that changes everything, doesn't it? Okay. Yeah. Okay, looking around, I'm next to my little flying teapot. In front of me is Gwen and who else is in front of me?
Juna is directly in front of you.
A gnarly looking Juna.
I got you, Juna.
And, okay, has Gwen got any weapons out currently?
I probably am not gonna do another dart because it didn't work, so all I've got left is my fists.
Okay.
Swaz.
Does this elemental look like it has fire in it?
Yes. Yeah, partly. There seems to be some swirling air energy, flames coming out of it, and crackling bits of lightning sparking off of its body as well.
So probably not the fire damage, Ben. So he is going to throw some sort of little... explosive device that he's made, which is attached to some sort of little bell, towards the elemental, mm-hmm. around sort of 30 feet down the other end of the boat, mm-hmm. Which is going to explode with a loud shatter sound, hint hint at shatter, in a 10-foot radius. So can the creature make a constitution saving throw, please, DC 16? If it is a creature made of an inorganic material, such as stone, crystal or metal, it has disadvantage on the saving throw. Don't know if it is.
It's not quite.
No worries.
Stone crystal or metal, unfortunately.
Okay.
So it doesn't have disadvantage, but constitution, did you say?
Con save, please.
That is a 14 altogether.
That is a fail.
Nice.
That will be 4d8. Cloud with little lines under it damage. What's that? Is that thunder?
Yeah.
Thunder damage. Thanks. Okay, 12. 18. 20 points of thunder damage, please.
Oh, nice. Hefty damage.
Hefty damage.
Is anyone within 10 feet of that?
Yeah, I'd sort of aim it right at the back of the boat, if I may.
Yeah. What's the range on the attack?
Oh, 60 feet.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine then. I was thinking it was 30 feet, and I was like, Winthrop. No, but it's fine. You can throw it. So almost like this little bell contraption almost like passes right the way through the smoke and the flames of this creature. The only reason that you know that it's worked is because of this like rapturous, thunderous noise behind it. And like it seems to be shocked forwards. So that the smoke almost like starts traveling down the boat towards you all.
Okay, I think he's going to... he's pretty near a ladder. I think he might just sort of go, yep, back a sec, guys, and just disappear up just to the top of the ladder, if he may.
Absolutely.
And then just shout down, Aggie! And then Aggie is just going to look around, and then just fly, just sort of hover just up the ladder so she's just out of the sort of blast radius of any further incoming attacks, but hovering just around the top of the ladder, if she may.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a scared little teapot.
It is then Enkidu's turn.
Really sorry about this. Can I ask a nitpicky question?
Absolutely.
I cast fly. Mm-hmm. We're on a moving boat. Does that mean I would have to have spent movement to keep up with the boat because I'm no longer on the ground?
We'll say because you've flown up to drop Myra off at the mast, mm-hmm. you've got one hand on the mast pulling you along.
Thank you. Because right. That would have been really awkward if, like, oh, I fly. Oh, my.
Yeah, the thing about it, Enkidu, is that you're actually 60 foot back, so...
Great. Control water. No. Also, how far is it to the ladder?
Flying down. You're about 20 feet away from the ladder itself.
Can I... Like, his free action shout to Oring, like, are you alright? Like, what's going on?
I'm alright. June is not looking good. Elemental.
Elemental. Right. Myra, I'm off. Master Witten, look after Myra, and I fly over Oring and head downstairs. I mean, below deck, sorry.
Ruana kind of looks at Enkidu like, why did he call me Master?
It's still not been addressed. I love it.
15 episodes later.
Yeah. Is that how far I can get?
You've got 60 foot fly speed, right? So if you wanted to, you could fly right the way down through the hatch, right up to this creature's space if you wanted to.
You are Peter Pan.
Can I back up like 5 feet?
Yeah, so you're not quite within its range.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're about 10 feet away from it.
Sure. And fly is concentration. Can I still cast a cantrip without losing it, or do I have to roll?
Eldritch Blast,
yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. You're not going to drop concentration on fly then.
Yeah, two shots of Eldritch Blast in that thing.
Go for it.
Oh, wow. That's a 16 and a 23.
Ooh. Both hit.
So that's a 10 and a 14. So 24 points of force damage.
Brilliant. That brings up the total damage to a wonderful 69.
Wow. Nice.
Whoa.
Nice. Felt like I had to share that number with you all. That's how much damage you've done to it so far. But yeah, again, like this the eldritch power sort of explodes out of your hands and collides. It's odd. It doesn't seem to pass through this being of smoke and flame. It sort of hits its form and it sort of shrinks back a little bit against the energy. Are you doing anything else?
No. Not right now.
Cool. In which case, it is Gwendolyn's turn.
Okay, Gwendolyn sees Juna, but is hoping that either Gaius or Orin are going to do something to heal her. And so she is very much thinking, we just need to get rid of this elemental. So she knows that the force is working better than piercing, so she's going to try and do some force and hope it doesn't hurt her too much. So she's going to run up to the elemental, and she is going to punch it.
Amazing. As you move into its space...
Oh, shit.
You feel the heat and the energy coming off of it. So you instantly take... 2 points of fire damage just in getting close to it.
All right. Oh, fuck. That is a 7 to hit, I'm guessing no.
Seven does not hit, unfortunately.
That's strange. And I'm going to use my extra attack. Question. Anybody know how many key points I can use on a turn? I'm looking through the book. I couldn't find an answer.
As many as you like. I don't believe there is a limit for it.
Wow.
The only limit that you have is the amount of like actions, bonus actions, and so forth.
Okay.
That you've got.
So
you've got Bardic Inspiration as well.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I forgot about that. Okay, nice. So with my extra attack, I'm going to spend a key point to try and do Stunning Strike.
Wonderful.
Nice.
And I'm going to use my Bardic Inspiration as well. So let's see if I can hit. So that would be 13 to hit. That's including my Bardic Inspiration.
13 just hits.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, yeah. That's what we're talking about. That is 5 points of damage. How does Stunning Strike work, though, if I was trying to do that?
Has to make a con save.
Okay, yeah.
Con save. Also, at what point do your blows become magical as a monk?
Six. Level six.
Okay. Magical blows.
So close.
Jeremy, have you ever played a monk before?
Yeah. Actually, I played a black halfling monk that was the inspiration for the name of the show, Three Black Halflings.
Oh, can we take a moment to just pause on how hilarious magical blows are?
My fists are magic, man. I got magic hands.
Yes.
It wasn't hands I was thinking of.
Oh.
We all know what you were thinking, Vicky. Yeah, so how much damage was that altogether, sorry?
That was 5 points of damage.
Nice.
And then they have to make a constitution saving throw.
Constitution got the saving book. Throw.
Yeah.
They fail the constitution because they rolled a five altogether.
So that means they're stunned?
Ooh. So, yeah, you. How does that look? Because the blow itself doesn't seem to do too much damage, but then your inner energy seems to have affected it somehow. But, like, does that have a visual thing?
I think, or is like... That? Yeah, I think there might be just like a little bit of sparkle because Gwendolyn is like feeling the sparkle from Dwayne again, and she's just like feeling this power like come through her for the first time that she's able to do this, and it's almost like there's like a sparkly residue that kind of like goes like beyond her hand, maybe not residue, that because that sounds like plasma, that's a bit gross, but like it's like her fist extends into the beast and kind of freezes it, stuns it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, you see it like even like the smoke coming off of it seems to like slow as it sort of tries to understand what it is that's happening to it. It like there's a bit of confusion, like the lightning sparks seem to calm down a little bit as it sort of takes this blow. Have you got anything else?
Yeah, I'm gonna then use my bonus action and spend a key point to step of the wind out of there.
Yeah.
Amazing. Because nice. It's stunned, it can't do anything to stop you.
Nice. And step of the wind, disengage, get myself as far away as I can. My full movement of 40.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to head right back up the stairs again? Or just to the
I want
to
be
ship?
Next to Juna, just in case there's something I can do to help.
Wonderful. In which case, it is then Dwayne's turn.
Oh, as a side note, since you just got this, it sounds like you just got the ability recently, I thought I should point out, obviously it's down to how David rules it, but according to the way it's written, you can announce that you've done a stunning strike after you've already hit. Similar to a smite if you're a paladin.
Yeah.
It says when you hit. So you don't have to spend the key point unless you actually hit the person.
Dope.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is dope.
Oh, nice.
And you can do it, like, theoretically, if you were to go off with all four of your hypothetical attacks, you could try and stunning strike them all four times.
Ooh.
And just if it just keeps making the... Yeah.
That's really cool. At first, I thought you meant, like, Gwendolyn can just, like, shout to everyone, I've stunned it!
No. You can just, like, use it after.
Awesome, thank you. Oh, it's so good having a seasoned pro, a monk.
It's so helpful, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
No problem.
And we have you on call, Jeremy, in the future, just if we're stuck.
Absolutely. Send me a text and I'll just be by my phone the whole time. Okay, so upon seeing the demise of Reggie, who, by the way, after he is fully cooked, dissipates into smoke.
Sorry.
Dwayne is going to reach into his bag and pull out his third ball of the day and toss it down the steps. His third fuzzy ball. And he rolls a 6, which means that he gets... The fuzzy ball bursts into a giant weasel.
Ooh. Big fan.
And Dwayne shouts out, "Ah, yes! Eloise! Just the thing! Eloise! Winthrop! destroy that elemental thing there.
And that's, he's going to stay there. That's his full turn. That was his action and bonus action.
Beautiful.
This giant weasel with incredibly long eyelashes looks over at you, Gwendolyn, and bats its eyes. And then turns its... I'll roll initiative for Eloise.
Yeah. I love the idea of, like, looking back, and you can just see, like, his afro, like, popping up from, like, almost, like, the ceiling, and his eyes just pop out because he's, like, head's just hanging over the edge looking at us all.
Sort of one hand holding the hat on every time he docks his head down, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Eloise got a 12 for her initiative.
12, amazing. That actually puts her right next to Winthrop.
Oh, excellent.
Nice. All coming together.
Have you got anything else, Dwayne?
That all I have is movement, and I'm not. Though I am afraid of this ghost cow, I shall not be moved.
Nice.
Bringing it back.
Yeah. Cool. In which case, it is Juna's turn.
So Juna's gonna sort of stagger. There's like some crates and caskets. They look like right. To the side of the ship. She's going
to
sort
of... Yes, to your left. There's the crates that you help load.
So she's going to sort of stagger, so she's kind of hidden behind them. Mm-hmm. And then sort of... she's going to sort of, like, slump down, take a breath, and then sort of, like, poke her staff out the side and, like, have a quick look and cast Chromatic Orb at the elemental.
A Juna favourite.
It is a Juna favourite.
Yeah, and because the creature is stunned, you also have advantage on attack rolls against it.
Excellent. Ooh. It doesn't really make much difference. That is 11.
11 unfortunately misses.
She's going to take another breath, and I'm going to spend a sorcery point this time to cast it again as a bonus action with Quickened Spell. This time it is 19.
19 hits, yeah.
Brilliant. 18 force damage.
Ooh.
And she's going to hide out behind the trunks.
Nice. Sort of, yeah, you'd sort of duck your way down. Yeah, the first one, trying to aim it over these crates of batteries past just the general, like, supports of the ship. You just accidentally hit a bag of flour instead. But then the second one, you line it up just that little bit better, and this chromatic energy sort of spirals its way out of your staff and collides with the creature.
Nice.
It is then Bessie's turn.
Okay, I'm going to roll again a d4 for Bessie to decide what she's doing. Okay, so interesting enough, she is panicking because, one, she's in a ship, which already she's not happy about because she's a horse. And then, two, she's obviously been having all this drama and all this fighting going on in front of her. And so I rolled a 1, which means she's going to charge 10 feet forwards, which actually is going to knock Guy to the floor as she bolts forwards a little bit, still a bit shocked and appalled. So Guy has now been hit to the floor, he's prone, and Bessie doesn't know what else to do, so she's just going to neigh again one last time. She's startled.
One last time.
One name more.
Yes.
Wonderful. Then straight after it is Gaius's turn.
Okay, Guy is going to look at this, like, weird ghost cow elemental thing that looks horrifying, dare he say, shocking. And then he's going to turn towards Juna, and he's going to just... think up of a spell. I put a spell on you, and now you're fine. And it's going to be a healing word. And I'm going to roll 3d4. Holy crud. That is 4 fours I'm looking at right now. No joke.
Wow.
Okay. Ooh. I'm looking... Okay, so that's 4, 8, 12 plus 3. So that's going to be 15 points of healing back to you, Juna.
Thank you.
And then just whip around one more time and look at Enkidu and just strum my guitar and then play some amazing, like, sword fighting sort of dramatic chords to inspire.
Let's get down to business.
Da, da, da.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More composition fun for you, DM.
Yeah. I'll just quickly write to Disney, shall I, see if we can.
And I guess with half of my movement, because I did all that while on the floor on my back, I'll just get up with half my movement.
Wonderful. Are you going to move anywhere else at all? Obviously, you've still got about 15 feet.
I'll move one step forward just so I can see I'm sort of hazing around the fray. I'm just on the edge of the fighting zone.
Cool. It is then Myra's turn, but all she's going to do is sit up on the mast like a good little girl who is doing what she is told, maybe pet Ruana a little bit.
Aww.
It is then Eloise and then Winthrop.
Okay, Eloise is going to, like, charge forward as a long, lithe weasel body. And is going to take a bite out of this elemental with advantage.
Amazing.
Oh my god.
Yeah, with advantage, though, as she does move into the elemental's sort of space, the heat does singe her fur a little bit. Her little eyelashes start sizzling at the end. She takes 7 points of fire damage.
She's nearly dead.
Oh my god.
By that, it just...
Oh no! Those eyelashes are all she has!
She screeches and completely whiffs her attack. After the pain from that.
Oh no.
Winthrop, seeing his companion horribly singed, charges in there as gonna... Is he 20 feet away? Here's my question. Is he currently 20 feet from the elemental?
He was only about 15 feet, okay, but he's got enough movement to back up. Yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna back up 5 feet and then just charge, like charge forward and try and pounce on this thing. Winthrop, come on. Winthrop. Neither of these two animals have rolled well at all.
Winthrop takes 4 points of fire damage as he's like steps into the heat wave of this creature.
That hurt, but he's not. He's
still going.
Yeah, he's still going. He didn't even beat a 10.
Oh,
I think he got a 10. I don't think that's enough. Winthrop, my man. What are we doing here?
The performance was glorious. But yeah, unfortunately didn't collide with anything.
Dwayne looks down and says, "Looks like you can't take the heat, I'm afraid."
Yeah.
Amazing. Back up on deck, Hallie is just again continuing to Orin and Dwayne, sort of you can see her. Like, she is looking around, she's confused. There is smoke coming up out of the deck beneath her. She's panicking, but she's just focusing on getting this ship to Drostad as quickly as she can. That's all she can do, really. Ruwana? What's Ruwana doing up on the mast?
She is going to nuzzle back into Myra, who is petting her.
And then it is the creature's turn.
But it's
now, does
stunned.
It make another save? Yeah, so it does it. The save is just... It doesn't make another save.
No, it's,
it just
it
is until
the end
of your next
turn. My
turn.
Next turn is what the book
wow.
says. Now I've got the book.
Shout out to the book.
That's good. In which case, the only thing I need to check is whether or not the animals still take damage from staying near it.
Which they do, unfortunately.
This is it. I think this is it for Eloise, folks.
Don't say that.
They both take 8 points of fire damage.
Yes.
They are
Eloise lets out a... is completely consumed. That's it for her.
How's Winthrop looking?
Winthrop is... He's seen better days, but he's still up currently.
Oh.
Yeah, tiger blood.
Yeah. Mm. You've got the eye of the tiger.
It's like a really stressful Pokemon battle.
Yeah.
They're just fighting one by one.
Ding, 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 ding.
Winthrop takes burn damage. Orin, it's your turn.
Okay. Orin is just going to... I think he's... thinking through what he's got about his person and what is actually going to be useful against this creature, most of which is fire damage and therefore probably a really terrible idea. He's going to quickly pull out of his bag and just sort of jam together a few components as best he can. He can't recreate the dragon immediately, but he can kind of reform the little... another little dragon head he's got in his bag, and he's just going to hold a dragon head in his hand instead. Mechanically using a first level spell to recreate his dragon, technically, but he's holding it. And he's going to recreate it into a force ballista dragon head that's in his hand this time. And he's going to stick his head below. He's going to go sort of 5-10 feet down below the ladder. And he's just going to point his force ballista dragon head towards the thing and fire at it, please.
Absolutely. Make your attack roll.
That is a non-natural 20 to hit.
That hits?
Yeah. That's going to be 13 points of force damage, please.
13 points of force damage, yes.
With that done, is there room to sort of duck behind the barrels near Juna, or...?
Yeah, there's a little... It's a bit of a squeeze at the bottom of the ladder.
We're only little.
Yeah.
But yeah, the two of you are the smallest. Well, maybe Dwayne is also competing for smallest in the group.
It's a race to the bottom.
And what a bottom.
What a bottom. Yeah, you sort of hunker down next to June.
He's going
to
tuck himself in as much as he can out the way.
Gina's going to put her arm around him.
Oh, thank you. And then Aggie's just going to sort of honk at Dwayne.
Hello there.
This is a teapot that looks like a goose.
Dwayne shakes the teapot's wing.
It shakes back.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. You may have noticed that we released a lovely bit of bonus content for you all recently. The superfans have been chatting again. So, if you haven't already, do go and check out the latest installment of Superfan Chats, where Hannah and Sam look back at the delightful Fireheart arc. The superfans are getting caught up on the main storyline, so expect to be spoilt with another installment very soon from not two, but three superfans, as the wonderful superfan Pippa joins the gang. Now, you may remember Pippa as the awesome musician that made a rock cover of our theme tune. And talking of our theme tune, what do you think of the fabulosa hurdy-gurdy edition we have on this episode? David has, of course, made this special version in honour of our delightful guest player, Jeremy Cobb, from the brilliant podcast Three Black Halflings. Go and check them out if you haven't already. We have a very exciting character creation episode with Jeremy that will be coming out exclusively for patrons in April. So if you're dying to get the inside scoop on Dwayne Fabulosa, check out patreon.com/nosmallroles. Patreon is a great way to show some love for No Small Roles, as is leaving us a review on places like iTunes, sharing our stuff on social media, and recommending us to your podcast-loving friends and family. Don't forget, next week is the last Sunday of the month, so that means No Small Questions with Ben and Daryl will be heading your way. But that's all from me for now. Let's get you back to that boat battle.
It is then Enkidu's turn.
Seeing three animals die in front of me.
Just two, but one two? Is getting there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
This poor tiger is on fire.
I honour their sacrifice by saying, brave animals to sacrifice themselves for their master who is quite far away from them. I should not forget you. And I curse this monster in your name and cast Hexblade's Curse on the elemental. And... I can't touch it, so I'll shoot two shots of Eldritch Blast.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Do we still have advantage, as it's still stunned?
It's still advantage, it's still stunned. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. Oh, okay, hang on. I just re-rolled my attack at advantage. Oh,
should we do that first?
Was it a natural 20?
Yeah, it was a natural 20.
Okay, we'll record a little bit now of reacting like it's a natural 20, mm-hmm. And then add in that damage instead.
Okay. just for fun.
Sure. Okay. So, I'll... you've actually got it with advantage, Ben.
Oh, good. Thanks for reminding me, David. I would never have remembered.
It's going to sound so natural when I edit this together, guys.
So okay. Conscientious. Such a conscientious group. We always remember we have advantage.
We always remember everything. So let me just roll that at advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what do you look at that?
What was it, Ben? What was it? We're waiting.
It's an unnatural 20 and a natural 20.
Wow.
I don't know if that's going to fly.
Please don't use any of that, Grace.
Sorry, I actually...
Absolutely amazing.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy.
use everyone's reactions. Let me try that again.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm an actor. I get paid to do this sometimes.
In the before times.
Yeah, in the before times. That's a natural 20.
Nice.
Get in.
Cool, so that's 13 double.
Double, 26 points of damage.
26
points of
damage. Nice. Yes.
The Manon with the cannon. We can't all be winners.
I'm so sorry, Grace.
Cool, in which case, where were we? Enkidu, yep, you said you're going to stand back.
I got two Eldritch Blasts, so I rolled a natural 16 for a 22 total, and I rolled a natural 2.
You roll each attack twice. Yeah.
The second...
Thanks.
No, absolutely fine. So yeah, the second attack, you roll 2 again. Okay.
never mind. So that's a 12 that time. Oh no, can I add my bardic inspiration?
You absolutely can.
Yay.
Guys, it's useful.
That's a 2, so that's 14 altogether.
14 just makes it. Wow. Hits. Yeah, yeah. So both attacks hit.
Yeah. Cool. Smoothies.
Use the reactions from that on my natural 20, Grace, yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Use those as the reactions for every single good thing that happens.
Exactly the same reactions. Yeah.
We actually just recorded the reactions in episode 1. We've just reused them every time.
6 episodes down the line, everyone will be like, is that Jeremy Cobb's voice in there as well?
We just get him in for the reactions these days.
Yeah.
I'm here for every recording session. Just
reacting.
Moral support.
9 points of force damage.
Ooh, nice.
No, it's not good with 2 dice. 2d10s.
I mean, it's not the best, but it's... it collides with this creature, and it does seem to start dissipating the smoke and the flame around it.
Sure.
So, actually, you're thinking, ooh, you're not too far from quelling this elemental energy altogether.
Sure.
Have you got anything else?
I'm going to stay where I am.
It is then Gwendolyn's turn.
Okay, I'm going to run up to it, and I'm going to kick it really hard.
Oh, my gosh.
Hopefully.
You run, you dart between Winthrop and under the floating Enkidu, sort of to get into its space. First of all, as soon as you get close enough, you take 6 points of fire damage.
I take 6 points of fire damage. I've kind of like done, to get under Enkidu, you know when the kids like do the sliding on their knees on the disco floor?
Yeah.
Like, that's what Gwendolyn has just done, to like slide underneath Enkidu. And then she's going to swing round with her first attack to try and kick it at advantage. Yes, that's good because one was a natural 1, but the other one was 17 plus 5. That's 22 to hit.
Hits.
So, yeah, so I'm kind of sweeping around with my leg underneath to kick it at the bottom, and that is 2 points of damage. Oh, no, wait a minute, plus. I forgot to add my plus earlier because I'm a doofus.
Oh, gosh, that reminds me, yeah.
That is 5 points of damage.
Yeah. 5 points of damage.
I love how musical that fight was just then.
I'm doing the music for you, David, don't you worry.
There was lots of singing.
And can I say that I wanted that to spend a key point to have made that a stunning strike again?
Absolutely. So it has to make a constitution saving throw, which was a natural 20.
Oh, fuck you, gosh. Elemental. That's fine. You're still stunned at the moment, so I'm doing my second attack. Oh, 2 15s, lovely. Nice. So plus 5, so that's an unnatural 20.
Definitely hits.
And that is, 9 points of damage. And do I hit it again or do I run away? I feel like it's on the ropes. I'm going to hit it again and just take the damage. Okay. Final 18 to hit.
18 hits.
And actually, I'm going to spend another key point to try and stun it again.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's an 18 constitution. I rolled.
Bugger. But that is 6 points of damage.
6 points of damage. Nice.
I used all my movement to get there, didn't I?
Yeah, but it finishes being stunned at the end of your turn, doesn't it?
Yes. So can I
Which
use
means that
whatever
it still can't take reactions, so you can back up.
Yeah. How far can I back up? Because I've got 40 feet of movement in the first place.
Yeah, you can still back up about sort of 15.
Cool.
Altogether.
I'll do that.
Yeah, and it can't swing out at you, which is great.
Yay.
But it is no longer stunned, which means that everybody no longer has advantage against it. It is Dwayne's turn.
Sorry, DM. I forgot something. Could you add an extra 6 points of damage to my turn? I forgot the Hexblade's Curse. You add your proficiency to the roll.
Yes, for Hexblade's Curse.
Sorry.
Amazing. So this thing looks like it is sort of slowly dissipating. It's not far from being completely quelled. But Dwayne, it's your turn.
Dwayne, upon seeing this thing resisting Gwendolyn's stunning attempts, I shout down.
Well, no matter what it thinks, I think you're stunning, dear.
I'm gonna inspire Gwendolyn. And then I'm going to look at the creature and say,
I say, you are a cad, a villain, and above all, a nincompoop.
And use vicious mockery. It has to make a DC 15 wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom save. Roll a 14.
Yay! Okay, it takes 2d4 damage and has disadvantage on the next attack roll it makes before the end of its next turn. That is 3 points of damage in total.
Yeah, Dwayne!
I'm doing my part!
Is that psychic damage?
Yes.
Yeah, nice. Wonderful. Have you got anything else? Are you moving anywhere at all?
I already used my action and bonus action. I don't think I have any. I'm just going to keep peeking down. That's about it.
Aggie will just peck you slightly.
Oh, not here, dear. No.
Amazing. It is then Juna's turn.
Juna's going to peek out by the side of Orin and cast some more chromatic orbs.
Mm-hmm.
So, natural one.
Oh, no.
Ooh, now, from where you're looking, I'm going to give you a choice here. Do you want to hit the crates of elemental batteries or Enkidu?
I want to hit Enkidu.
Okay. I mean, to be fair, I don't think he's taken any damage yet.
Yeah, so it's okay. I can spare the dying. I can cure wounds. I'm fine with Enkidu.
How powerful is this spell?
Yeah, so roll the damage anyway.
Okay.
But as you're trying to like line it up, find a spot, just like nudge yourself slightly, you slip. And unfortunately, especially with Enkidu, it's sort of almost floating in place. Whereas before it might have gone over his head, it just catches him in the shoulder.
It was a 7, a 7, and a 5, plus 6. Oh, 25, sorry. 25
but
damage.
But the plus 6, because your spell attack is only for the attack, not for damage.
Oh, okay. Then it's just that it's not the plus 6.
19 points of force damage, 19. Is it?
It's force damage, yes.
19 points of force damage colliding you, almost like knocking you to the ground with the force of it.
I imagine he loses concentration, or does he have
I have advantage on concentration checks on my own spells. So, like, as I'm reeling from behind, like, what the fuck was that? I have to roll 2d20s.
Juna just sort of shouts around the corner, I'm so sorry, Enkidu.
He's gasping. No, he's fine. He's fine. Oh my gosh. Constitution. So, the highest of the two was a 15 altogether.
So, you've got to roll 10 or more than half the damage. So, 15 succeeds.
Okay, cool. So, I kind of looped down and I still managed to stay in the air. Like, oh my gosh, what was that?
Yeah. There's a brief moment. You think, ooh, and like one toe touches the floor. But yeah, no, you're still floating.
Can I just look over at Juna and be like, is he flying? Not sure I witnessed that the night before.
Yeah, actually.
Have you got anything else, Juna? Have you got bonus action?
I have, but I think if she's just hit Enkidu, I don't think she's going to be focusing. I think she's just going to be really fucking shaken, so I'm not going to do anything else.
Absolutely. In which case, it is Bessie's turn.
Okay, I'm going to roll again for Bessie. And, oh, Bessie! She's still so startled that she's going to move to the left now, so she's going to bump into Guy again and knock him over, like it's almost swatting him against a pillar. And that's going to be her movement. And as for Guy, who I believe is next is in the initiative, is that right, David?
Yes, that's right.
So he's going to, looking over Bessie now, is going to be just like, oh, get out the way, okay. It looks at Wingthrop and goes, everybody wants to be this cat because this cat's the only cat who knows how to attack. And I'm going to imbue words, which is something from my college, which is going to allow you, Wingthrop, to have advantage on your next attack. And I'm doing that as my bonus action, and I'm going to step around Bessie, around her back, so she might be startled, so she might kick me, I'm not sure. And I'm going to strum my lute really hard, and then I'm going to cast Thunderclap at the monster.
Nice. Does it make a save?
It has to make a constitution saving throw.
Constitution? But it's awful at that. 10 altogether.
Yep, it fails. So let's see if I can do this. That's 5 plus 4. So that's 9 points of damage. Thunder damage.
Nice. And yes, this reverberation, like, through its being, seems to have a real effect on it. You can almost see the shakes as this thunderous clap rolls out across the entire ship. It's still together, though. Still seems to be in one or two pieces, at least. It is Winthrop's turn at that point.
Well, Winthrop was pretty freaked out by everything that's been going on and the burning and the missing, but he's been given a new lease on life because of this, and he's got the eye of the tiger. He's gonna jump in there and fully just try and go all out against this thing with a bite attack.
Come on, Wade. Mm-hmm.
First roll is a natural 4. Second roll is a natural 6. He gets a +5 to hit. That's an 11.
Unfortunately, neither collide.
The show's called No Small Rolls, Winthrop. No small rolls.
There's no roll.
Come on.
Because he has tried attacking the creature whilst within its heated way, Winthrop does take another 7 points of fire damage.
Winthrop is a toasty kitty. He's still alive.
Oh, he's still going.
That is one resilient cat.
Yeah.
He's a thick tiger, man. He's a thick tiger.
He's got all of the points. Wonderful. I'm sort of skipping through. Skipped Myra, skipped Hallie. What's Ruana doing?
Ruana is just staying with Myra, and unless, you know, there's anything coming across the sea or Juna does anything. So she's just sort of there with Myra.
Cool. In which case, it is then the elemental's turn, and the elemental is going to move forwards, finally. It's been stuck at the back of the ship for this entire fight. And it is going to move forwards, meaning that Winthrop, Enkidu, Bessie, Gwendolyn, as it moves through all of your spaces, Orin and Juna all take... Oh, you're all right. 2 points of fire damage each as it rolls through. It's getting weak. However, Juna and Orin, what it does do is move toward the crates that are directly in front of you.
Here's a practical question. Do any of these people get opportunity attack?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Every single one of them.
Redeem yourself, Winthrop. Redeem yourself, Winthrop. Come on, buddy. Winthrop rolled a 5. Not a single animal has landed in town this entire time.
But they've looked great missing, so... Enkidu, if you want to make an opportunity attack.
Yeah, with Warcaster, is it? Can I shoot one beam or both of them? Eldritch Blasts.
Ooh! Both!
Nice.
Because it's, like, that's just how you cast Eldritch Blast.
Double barrel.
Oh, no. They're both a 11. Both 11s.
No, unfortunately.
Bessie's going to have an opportunity attack.
Come on, Bessie.
Come on, Bessie.
Come on, Bessie.
Do it for the animals.
Bessie rolled an 11, and she has a plus modifier of 5, so she's got 16.
Oh my god.
Nice hits.
Bessie carrying the team right now.
Yeah. She carries everything else for them.
Hey. Then we forget her every few episodes.
Yeah.
We've never forgotten Bessie.
And that was 6 plus 3. That's 9 points of bludgeoning damage.
Yes, Bessie.
Nice.
Is Bessie magical?
No, but she's just... She's... Freaking out.
Gwendolyn, you make an opportunity.
Yeah, that was a 9 total.
Oh no, we all missed.
What are the odds?
No, Bessie did not miss.
Bessie, oh yeah, Bessie
did not miss. Do not say we all missed.
Yeah, all right. I'll take it back.
And then Orin and Juno, it hasn't quite moved out of your space just yet, so you are just sort of feeling the effects of getting into your face.
Oh, Gwen, you have Bardic Inspiration.
Yeah, you're right.
Good. Good spot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That makes it to a 10.
No.
Thanks for reminding me, though.
Well, we try.
Sorry, team.
But what it's going to do, rather than attacking any of the people in its way, it is going to try and boost itself a little bit and slams its entire body down onto the crates in hopes of rejuvenating itself.
Oh, my God.
To hit it all together, so I want to say
it has disadvantage. It has disadvantage.
Yes,
because I insulted it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's next time.
Good save. Okay. I rolled higher.
No.
Sorry. So 18 is the disadvantage. Otherwise, it's a 21. So you see this crate, the one that it sort of landed at, sort of shatter beneath it, and this creature instantly seems to swell in size.
Oh no.
Taking up even more space.
Gosh.
Swirling and like just absorbing all of this like electrical and fiery energy. Like you, from Juna and Orin's perspective as well, you can almost see these like the cylinders just being like sucked up and like infused into the bigger creature.
Can I say to Orin, I bet you wish you'd taken one of those batteries now.
Yep. And thrown it in the lake.
However, even as you see it swell in size, it seems to become quite thin as even though it is taking in all of this energy, it's not necessarily like regaining the bulk that it had beforehand. The lightning bolts and the bits of cloud and flame seem to be just that little bit disparate from each other, even as it swells. It is then Orin's turn.
Okay, so Orin now is in direct combat with this creature, so he's just gonna reach towards it with his gloves of shocking grasp, if he may, and attempt to shock it.
Oh, please do.
Oh, don't say that.
Oh, no. That was said
Wait.
So gleefully.
Hang on. Lightning on the lightning elemental. Hang on.
Yep. Why?
Why? 25 to hit.
25 hits.
Great, cool, yeah, cool, cool, yeah, cool. Yeah. So, yep. So, well, I regret my life choices. That's 14 points of regret damage.
No.
Oh no.
Oh, it just got bigger. Yeah. It just got bigger.
Wow. It's bigger.
Okay, I'm really sorry, guys.
I'm really surprised you didn't walk that back though, Ben. Good on you, at least.
Yeah, no,
but
no, no, no.
As you try to grab sort of this thing in front of you, your shocking grasp goes off and you can just watch as the electrical energy from your glove is just sucked into this creature, almost accelerating its growth. As it like it suddenly expands even faster, filling most of the lower deck of this ship.
I am really sorry. Orin is then going to back up a bit away from it.
Absolutely.
Just sort of 10 feet towards the back of the boat, if he may, towards the stern of the boat.
Yep. As you move away,
nope,
it is
nope,
going to
nope,
lash
nope,
out at
it
you.
It won't because it's been shock and grasped. So even though I've made
course,
it better,
it can't take reactions.
It can't take a reaction.
Oh my gosh. That's at least. Okay, saving grace.
That's something. And then I'm going to just be like, okay, really terrible idea. And then I'm going to fire in my other hand. I've still got the dragon head with the force ballista. And as bonus action, I'm going to fire the force ballista towards it, please.
Mm-hmm.
For a natural 20.
Yay!
Natural 20.
Yay! Oh,
that's what we needed. Yes, sir. Half this balloon.
Yeah.
Do it.
16 points of force damage, please.
Cool, nice.
And then Orin thinks about running upstairs and then is like, no, I've made the mess. Stay here and deal with it. And he's going to stay down there. And but he's just going to shout up at Aggie, like, Aggie, don't come down here. Really don't come down here.
Oh my gosh.
Enkidu, as you're sort of having like thrown an Eldritch Blast at this thing passing, you see it attack the crate, suddenly expand, and you become engulfed in like heat and lightning, and you like it's you struggle to breathe in the smoke. So first of all, at the top of your round, you take 9 points of
How
heat
much?
Damage.
Oh my gosh!
Just from being in its space,
guys. This has gone really wrong. I'm really sorry.
I'm not looking
this
good.
This is twice in a row. I'm really sorry.
I'm not.
I
looking
think we
good.
Can say goodbye to Bessie.
Don't say that.
I'm gonna say goodbye to this boat. It's gonna kill the boat.
No, we're gonna kill this boat.
Don't say that.
That's bad. This is really bad. DM, what is the difference between, or anyone, thunder and lightning damage?
So lightning damage is like electrical mm-hmm. damage, whereas thunder is closer to
sound waves.
Sound waves, yeah.
Sure.
I'm just gonna say that lightning damage is what I just did to it.
Yeah. Okay. Gosh, I can't. Can I see around it to the stern from where I am?
It's very hard, but you can just make out Orin and Juno toward the back of the ship.
Okay, I'm going to... Is that Winthrop that's next to me?
Yes.
Right, I'm going to drop concentration on fly, because there's no point now, because I can't get around it. Drop to the ground, hold out my hand to Winthrop, says, we have to move from here. If you can understand me, I hope that you can trust me. Hopefully it will come with me, whatever.
What are you doing?
You see lightning crackle around my feet,
what
and I'll cast Thunderstep to get to the stern. That's where I can see. So I guess it's southeast on this map towards the ladders.
Yeah, toward the back of the ship. It's only about 25
yeah,
feet away.
I can move 90 feet, but it's a small boat. So hopefully Winthrop is willing, and then we could teleport towards there.
I'm assuming Winthrop is sort of up for it. Otherwise he'd be... well within the range of this creature's heat. Yeah, you sort of blast your way across. What happens with Thunderstep?
Whoever was within 10 feet of me has to make constitution saving throws, DC save of 14.
Cool. That includes Bessie. Gosh.
Bessie rolled a 6.
Oh no.
The creature rolled a 4.
So that's 3d10 of thunder damage.
What?
Oh gosh.
Oh man.
Bessie's like immune to thunder damage, yeah?
Yeah, she's made of thunder. She's Thor's thunder. She's Thor's horse.
She's a thunder stallion.
She'll be riding up there with the rest of them.
That's 2 9s for 1.
That is a good hit, though.
That's an 8. So yeah. 18 plus 8 wow. is 26.
Oh, wow. Great damage.
Mm. That's incredible.
Is Bessie down?
What's the max hit points of a riding horse?
I can tell you now that Bessie's body is flung across the boat. It's just slumped. Yeah, whichever direction the blast came from. And Guy stupidly stood right behind Bessie.
Why are we making this so much worse for ourselves? Yes.
This is a disaster.
You're sort of thrown back, Gaius, a little bit as you like almost catch Bessie's body, but like as soon as she collides with you, she just slumps to the ground. You can see that in a variety of ways her bones are broken.
Oh jeez.
She is down
forever.
Okay, Bessie.
That's the thing. What's the
what's the max hit? Yeah, that's a really valid point, actually.
I just looked it up. It's 13. Yeah,
13, which means she's dead, unfortunately. She was only on like 2 hit points, right?
Yeah.
And then she took damage above her maximum hit points, below 0.
Yeah.
Even at max HP, that would have insta-gibbed.
Insta-gibbed.
Mm. Poor Bessie.
She got a hit in.
Oh.
She.
No.
She got
only
a hit
vegetarian
in.
Killed a horse.
She did more damage than Eloise, than Reggie, and than Winthrop combined.
Oh my gosh. I chose to save Winthrop and killed Bessie in the process.
Is Winthrop a real animal, or is Winthrop a...
Isn't he like one that can come out of the bag every day?
Yeah, I mean, mechanically, yeah, he could just come back tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
anyway.
Turns it next before
it's
I cry.
Still my turn.
So the creature itself does take 26 points of thunder damage, though.
Yeah,
that's really good. That's really good damage.
Yeah.
Let's focus on that.
Yeah, focus on the positive.
So, like, this elemental is suddenly, like, blasted. This sonorous sound rings out. And, yeah, Enkidu, as you look back, you see as the clouds of it become even thinner. Like, the sparks of electricity around it, like, having to reach almost to, like, these different smoky globules. What else are you doing?
2 Eldritch Blasts at the elemental.
Please do.
Oh, this is for best. Oh, so stupid. Oh my gosh, there were terrible rolls. That's 11 and a 13.
13 hits.
So that's a d10. So that's a 10 points of force damage.
Nice. Yeah, and again, this theme seems to be dissipating, but it's not quite there. It is Gwendolyn's turn. Well, first up, Gwendolyn, as you are stood again in its space. You take 5 points of fire damage from the heat around you.
Okay, I have seen what's just happened to Bessie. I know that Gaius is going to be distraught. I want to destroy this thing, so I am going to punch it really hard. 15 to hit?
15 does hit.
Yeah, it does. And that's 5 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And...
reduced.
I'm going again. A 24 to hit.
Definitely hits.
And I'm going to spend a key point to try and stun and strike it. My last key point.
It rolled 16 altogether.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Use that to strip with the wound. Never mind, didn't do that. Bonus action attack. 17 to hit.
Yeah. 17 hits.
Yeah, and it's going to take 8 points of damage. Getting really aggressive.
Come on, Grant.
She is letting out all the anger and sadness in one go.
Amazing. I almost imagine because it's sort of becoming thinner and like more incorporeal that you're just like punching clouds.
Yeah. She's like, punch, kick the clouds.
Cloud after cloud. But it seems like it does seem to be having some effect. Not much, but a little bit.
Better than nothing.
It is Dwayne's turn.
Okay, well... Dwayne senses that this thing may be on the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to, he's gonna whisper again. He's going to say, "I don't know what you are. I don't think you're art, but whatever you are, you need to go. I simply dislike you. My animals deserved better." I'm gonna cast second level Dissonant Whispers. It needs to make a wisdom saving throw, DC 15.
I rolled a 14.
Yes! So that's 4d6 damage this time.
Nice.
So that's 5, 11, 17, and 20. 20 points of psychic damage, and if it's still alive, it has to use its reaction to move away as far as it can from me.
It's not. As you sort of whisper to it, you see, like, just the way it dissipates become thinner and thinner, And even though, again, like, Juna, especially from your point of view, you can still see it trying to extract any last bit of energy from the crates around it. It does seem to be fading slightly. However, as it does so, it concentrates down into a small little ball of electrical energy and then just explodes again. Can everyone below deck make a dexterity saving throw, please?
Why did I be noble and stay downstairs?
Being half covered by the body of a dead horse. Oh my gosh.
I will say Gaius has advantage on this because Bessie's body is directly in the way.
That's good because I rolled a 3.
With her dying hand.
Yeah, she's saving the one she loves.
is Bessie dead, cold dead?
Cold dead.
Cold
she
dead,
zero?
Buddy. She's
yeah.
cold she's dead.
She's like gone.
She's gone. No reviving there, my friend.
Soul has left that horse.
Oh, I had so much hope and now it's gone.
What's everybody's deck saves?
12.
12.
15.
10.
Oh, yeah.
21.
Thank you, Bessie.
Thank you, Bessie. Your final act.
Really shouldn't have ordered that t-shirt just now.
Oh, no. Oh, it's broken my heart.
Cool, so everybody apart from Gaius takes 19 points of lightning
19,
energy.
No.
Ooh, sugar.
Oh, my.
Oh.
And Gaius, you take 9.
Okay.
I am down.
Oh, my God.
Orin just looks on death's door.
So does Juna. Like,
Orin
literally.
Is hanging in there with a hit point.
Same.
A hit point.
Question, DM.
Mm-hmm.
Thunderstep. Can you thunderstep again?
Well, I'm unconscious because I had 9 hit points before this.
Ooh.
Oof.
Second, as soon as it dies, I regain 8 hit points. So does that bring me back up?
So you would have fallen unconscious, and then with it being dead, like, yeah, the Hexblade's curse returns to you and just, like, awesome. Revives you.
Oh, my gosh.
That is a neat feat.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so you dropped unconscious, but then, like, as you're, like, on the floor, just the energy of the arms suddenly returned to you.
That is so cinematic.
Oh, the grasp of death.
But it is gone. The ship below looks ravaged. Part of it is on fire. Like, the crack in the deck above you is even wider. But the ship is still standing. And apart from Bessie, you're all still alive.
Just.
Oh, my God.
Just.
Who's down at the moment?
I'm on 1 hit point, so I'm looking one. Very ropey.
Orin's looking terrible, but...
I'm just going to go around and just, like, sing a soft lullaby to all of, to those people. So I'll go to Orin and I'll go to Juna. And you'll at least get back. And also to Gwen.
Oh, before you can get to Gwen. Dwayne has already sprinted down the ladder. And is going to dramatically hold Gwendolyn in his arms.
Dwayne.
As he looks into her eyes and says, Gwendolyn, I'm so sorry. I never wanted you to take damage like this. You look so hurt. Are you all right?
I could definitely do with a bit of, reviving, please, if you can help me.
I'll give you all I have. And I don't just mean that in terms of the spell. I'll give you all I have for the rest of my days.
Oh, my.
Yeah, saying that, I'm going to cast Healing Word at 3rd level.
Orin and Juna, you got back 7 from my Healing Word each.
You regain 14.
Oh.
Gwendolyn.
Thank you, Dwayne.
David, Orin and Juna are next to each other, right?
Yeah, like, this is out of combat now, so you can, like, you can easily move over to where Orin is.
Cool, I'm going to move over to Orin and just sort of put my hands on his shoulders and cast Cure Wounds at 2nd level.
While Juna's doing that, I'll pull out the vial of bees and put them on Juna. And cast Cure Wounds on Juna. I'm going to cast it at 1st level, but I might do it twice.
You've got 15 more hit points.
You're a superstar. Oh, goodness. Right, hang on, you've only got 7 hit points back. Sorry. That was a terrible roll.
That's okay, that's enough to not be like...
Did you say 15?
15, yeah.
Okay, you get 7 back. But then I am going to say to everyone, gather around, everyone.
I crawl over to Orin as I'm like burnt and battered from
chromatic orbs. Are you looking really bad, Enkidu?
I have 8 hit points.
Let's see where Orin's got.
Okay, so he's going to reach, fiddle around in his bag, not feeling great, but feeling a bit stronger than he was, and he's going to pull out the 3rd and final dragon head with the protective element on it and give everyone, this is just temporary hit points, but he's going to give everyone 12 temporary hit points.
That's great.
Who's within 10 foot, so I assume everyone can get within 10 foot of him.
David, is the captain still upstairs?
Oh, yeah. And as some of you start poking your heads above deck, she does turn and she's like, what the fuck? are you doing to my ship? What is happening? Are we safe now?
We're safe now. There's damage to the ship, unfortunately. Elemental.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. I noticed the damage to the ship, actually. Okay.
I don't know how it happened. Elemental had born itself and then started attacking. We took care of it, well, but...
Which of you touched the crates?
None of us. None of us touched the crates.
No.
Did anybody see anybody who did?
No, I didn't.
No.
There was this, like, halfling downstairs when me and Oren came down, and he was just there, and he pulled the things from their casings, and then they smashed and made that monster downstairs.
Yeah.
Who was that guy?
Blonde halfling, blue eyes.
Upon hearing this, Dwayne is going to turn to Gwendolyn and say, Gwendolyn, dear, I'd just like to apologize again. I never wished for you to be hurt in any of this. Look, I think whatever happened down there, it may be in some way tied to me. Not that intentionally I would have done anything, but look, the bottom line is we need to get to shore as quickly as possible, and I'm very sorry for having involved any of you in what's been going on. It's not, like I said, it's not my choice. It's just something that happens.
Dwayne, I think it's time you told us the truth. Who was that person, and why are they trying to track you down?
He didn't look like an undead cow.
And why did you leave it?
I understand that you want to keep some things in your past to yourself, but I suggest that you tell us with all honesty as I cast suggestion on
I guess what's the DC to resist this?
DC, so it's, because while he's been saying all this, I've just been, like, twiddling with the ring that I got. DC is a wisdom saving throw against my DC of 14.
Okay. That is a natural 9. And I do not get enough of a plus. I do not get enough of a plus to beat a 14. So you said, what was it that you asked specifically?
I think it was just something like, tell us with all honesty what has happened and who that was.
I think Dwayne, you could see Dwayne like visibly trying to resist that before like he's like, ah! And like you see that his eyes, all of the effort like just kind of goes up to as his eyes fill with tears, and he says,
I'm not originally from here. I'm actually from far up north, as you may have guessed already, as I'm a halfling. My dear Gwendolyn, I must confess to you, you were not the first spouse I ever had. I used to be married once before. Well, not once before, but in this particular case, the only relevant particular relationship was my first. It was with that halfling down there, Art Vandelay. He died tragically as we were fleeing elven raiders. I tried to slow them down with my breath, and I caught him, and he was killed, and ever since he keeps following me, and every time I try to find happiness with someone new, he reappears, and he won't leave me alone, and he's been chasing me this entire time, and he might be on this ship right now, and I'm so sorry, and he fully falls over and starts sobbing, having basically revealed all relevant information.
Gwendolyn wraps him up in her arms, and she just hugs him whilst he sobs.
That I was not expecting.
Oh, Aggie will just go in for a little nuzzle.
I think Juna's going in for a bit of a, like, tentative shit, man, hug.
Wow.
Guy's just going to be like, okay, and go below deck.
Enkidu's going to spot him doing that and just trot along after him.
Gwendolyn just is aware of what's going on and wants to go comfort Guy, but also is comforting Dwayne, because this is also, like, there's just so much pain everywhere right now. And she's not quite sure what to do, so she just keeps holding him.
Dwayne, looking through his tears, does Dwayne see any sign of Art nearby?
Make a perception check.
That is, I think, a 22.
Not on the boat, no. But as Dwayne is being held in Gwendolyn's arms, he can just see that same figure right on the horizon. walking slowly towards him.
Dwayne is going to look up at Gwendolyn and say,
Gwendolyn, I was being honest when I said I loved you. I never wanted to leave, but I never wanted you to be in danger from Art. And I'm afraid that if I stay with you any longer, he'll just keep coming. I'm sorry. Look, if ever we meet again, then please think better of me.
And Dwayne is going to turn, run, and jump off of the boat.
What?
And as Dwayne disappears from view, you guys hear a sound like a crack of lightning. Just like a... and a flash of light. And you see something fly speeding off into the distance, heading north.
Gwendolyn runs to the side of the ship and shouts out, Dwayne! But knows that he's far beyond her, and she just sobs.
Myra, on top of the mast, just goes, can I come down now? And that's where we're in tonight's episode.
Oh my god.
That was heavy. In all good ways.
All good ways, yeah. Epic, guys. Oh my god, Dwayne!
That was sick.
That was sick, yeah.
I was not expecting that reveal, man.
No way.
Wow. Roller coaster that was, character.
Yeah.
Oh, what a use of suggestion. I was like, oh, so none of the backstory is going to come out. Ooh, lovely. Nice. Like, have him back. No, brilliant.
Wow. We'll still have him back at some point. We'll find a way.
That's it. A reminder, sorry, Jeremy, when we are
we're still
missing you for all the time that you're not going to be on this show, where can we hear and listen to you?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Chris. I normally appear on the podcast Three Black Halflings. You can find us wherever casts are potted. and we also have a Twitter, an Instagram, and a Facebook, at TB Halflings. And if you like what you, if you check us out and you like what you hear, and you feel like tossing some coin our way, we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/TB Halflings. Feel free to support us. We also stream every... I forgot to mention this. We live stream every other Wednesday on Twitch. Twitch.com/TBHalflings. We have an ongoing campaign in Ouagadou, which is an Africa-inspired setting that has recently came out. And it's just been announced that it's the official actual play podcast of Ouagadou.
Yes.
So everything that happens in the show is officially canon to the Ouagadou
set. Yes.
So,
would that be breaking news were it not for the fact we're recording 2 months ahead of schedule?
No, it got announced on December 23rd of last year.
So close to breaking Amazing. News by so just by 3 months.
So close.
Massive, massive thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you all so much for having me. This has been a blast, man. This is so cool. I love this.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to have you back.
Yeah.
That is the only option.
Dwayne must return
into the sunset.
He must.
Yeah.
Dwayne will return in.
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Ben Galpin as Orin, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, Vicky Gaskin as Juna, and special guest Jeremy Cobb as Dwayne Fabulosa. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all the social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Anon! Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.